Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Johnson Wealth and Income Management and Sound Income Strategies, LLC are not associated entities. Johnson Wealth and Income Management is a franchisee of Retirement Income Source, LLC. Retirement Income Source, LLC and Sound Income Strategies, LLC are associated entities.
What kind of a retirement plan allows millions of people to lose 30 to 50% of their life savings just as they near retirement?
It's a society based on freedom and choice and personal responsibility. There are no guarantees.
It's important that people deal with someone to make sure to provide lifetime income.
Lifetime income.
And now to our story.
Welcome to the Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson, powered by Johnson Wealth and Income Management. Are you living the life you want? Are you prepared for retirement as you believe you should be? What are your goals for retirement, and how are you going to reach them? In the next 30 minutes of today's program, let's explore the principles necessary to live the capitalized life and the retirement of your dreams. Now, here's this week's Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with your host, Matthew Johnson.
And welcome to this episode of the Capitalized Life and Retirement Show. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson, president and owner of Johnson Wealth and Income Management, a retirement income source. Located in Clear Lake and Humboldt, Iowa, serving clients in northern Iowa and southern Minnesota. Well, how are you today? Hope you're doing well, taking a little bit of time for yourself this weekend. And I just want to say welcome to the program. Today, we're going to be discussing the horse race that's taking place in Wall Street. That's right. There is a really big race and there's a lot at stake, pardon the pun, with all of the horses that are in this horse race. But today we're going to be looking at some of the interesting dynamics, some of the things that are starting to evolve and take place within the stock market. And if you've been concerned about the stock market, if you think the stock market is maybe getting a little too frothy, if you've been worrying about whether you should maybe trim back some of your holdings and some of the companies that you invest in and maybe diversify and go in a different direction, well, today's show is going to be addressing just that. Now, before we get into our program, if you're brand new, I just want to say welcome again. There is an unlimited, almost unlimited amount of resources that are available for you. If you go to our website, Johnson WIM is in Wealth Income Management. There is white papers. There are backlogs of videos and YouTube videos and podcasts and radio shows. Things that are here to help you better understand how to be optimally prepared for retirement. You know, the goal in retirement is to have more income than you need. And so many investors, they're prepared on how to invest for growth, but they're really underprepared as to turning that growth that they have seen and the money that they've accumulated into an income stream that's going to last the rest of their life while still giving them access to the principal if they need it. And if that's something you've been looking for, I encourage you, not only go to the website, watch the various different videos, but I also encourage you, get a copy of my book, The Capitalized Retirement. Something that's simple, it's basic, it's down to earth, something that you can read and reread in order to be able to better comprehend the various different sources of income that you can have in retirement and how to maximize each one of those sources. We're actually going to start out today by discussing a horse race, a famous horse race. It took place in 1973. It was something called the Woodward Stakes. And it was a horse race. Obviously, many, many different horses were there, but the horse that was favored the most to win this race was no less than the man Secretariat. And he had the history, right? He had everything in his favor to win this horse race. And when that horse race started, man, did he start strong. He was smoking the competition. But all of a sudden, as the race continued, there was this, well, he was a bit of an underdog. His name was Onion. And I guess with the name like Onion, well, doesn't sound like a very speedy horse to me. But nevertheless, Onion ended up going on to beat Secretariat and win that race. And today, when we look at the stock market, we can't help but question so many of these companies that have gone on a tear. They've gone literally straight up. Is it time to maybe trim some of those holdings? Is it time to maybe take some winnings off the table? So it's a good question to contemplate. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, if maybe you work with a financial advisor and a broker, and this is, you know, maybe one of those areas that he or she has instructed you to be more heavy in, and no doubt you've seen those odds in your favor. Are those odds now starting to shift? Is Onion starting to come up behind you and he's going to win the race? Well, that's everything that we're going to discuss and even more. So let's start out with just a little bit of history. I've taken down some stats that we need to kind of go through with regards to the stock market. You know, last year, no one will argue the fact that the S&P 500 had a fantastic year. Don't quote me, but I think it ended the year up around 24%, close enough that most people just call it 25%. But the reality is that we're looking at the S&P 500 today. We're looking at the Dow Jones and the NASDAQ, and the S&P is starting to maybe show signs of fracturing. We see that the S&P is up maybe about 1.73%, and here we are 2 months into the year. Now, granted, we don't want to telegraph that the rest of the year is going to be bad for the S&P, because quite honestly, that's asking for a crystal ball, and none of us have that. But one of the questions that I received from you, the listener, by the name of Ian, was discussing kind of the functionality of the S&P. And this is something we've kind of gone through before, but maybe it's just intriguing enough that we go back and we really think about it. You know, when we think about the S&P 500, it would be pretty simple math if every single company, each one of those 500 companies in the S&P, was basically 0.2%, or they were 1/500th of the S&P 500. That's what's referred to as a weighting, weighting. The reality is that it doesn't really work that way. When we think about the S&P, we have to realize that your position in line, if you're a company in the S&P, and the amount of volume that you make up of the S&P is really based upon your capitalization, how big you are. And when we think about the S&P 500, we know that the tech companies are really, by and large, well, they are very, very large. They make up the vast majority of the 500 companies that are there. And here's a little interesting tidbit. When we take and we carve out, say, the tech companies, okay, and we carve out just a little bit of them, or better yet, let's do it this way. If we take and we create a weighting of 1/500th of every single company, instead of the S&P 500 being up last year in 2024, 24%, the S&P 500 would only be up by 1/2 of that. Isn't that interesting? Now, what if you eliminated the tech stocks entirely? You just completely took them out of the picture. What would the S&P 500 be up in 2024 if the S&P didn't have any of these tech giants in it? Well, it would be up 7%. Look at that. Isn't that interesting? It would be up 7%, not 24, it would be up 7. I want to remind each and every one of you, you have a resource. If you have a question that you've just been dying to try to get an answer on, you can always go to my website, which is johnsonwim.com, as in wealthincomemanagement.com. Just a wealth of information there. You can listen to past episodes of this radio show, as well as my weekly YouTube videos, as well as white papers. So what's the point? What are you driving at, Matthew? Well, the thing to consider is that if you've been overweight, or if you've got a tremendous amount of technology in your portfolio, we may want to second guess whether we are going to get lucky 2 years in a row. And I think many investors are starting to wake up, especially after things like DeepSeek coming out saying that they can do so much better with microchips that are less quality. They can have less data. They can have way less energy usage to be able to get to the same place that many of the American technology companies can. I think that was a bit of a wake-up call. That was a company that was on nobody's bingo card. And when they revealed that information, it caused many investors that were overweight in technology to think about, wait a minute, should I continue to be investing in these companies, especially now in light of the fact that maybe they're not actually as good as what I think? And I think that that's an honest question that we have to ask ourselves. For many do-it-yourselfers, you know, they're making a judgment call. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, you're having a conversation with yourself about what you invest in. You're trying to do as much diligent research as you possibly can. But here's the thing that all human investors struggle with. And it's not fun to admit this, but it's true. We make decisions, generally speaking, as human beings, emotionally. And there's generally two emotions that will drive every decision, especially when it comes to investing. And I bet you can guess what the first two are. It's fear, right, over here, and it's greed over here. And sometimes we can get this feeling that the companies that we're investing in, or the company that we're investing in that kind of happens to be the darling of our portfolio, well, it just simply can't end. It's going to go to the moon. It's going to continue on. And we have to be careful of that, because despite the fact that Secretariat had history on his side, despite the fact that he had won so many races, he was highly favored. He was likely going to be the one to win that race. Well, it turns out he didn't. It turns out he got beat by others. And so if you've been asking yourself, is the stock market getting a little too frothy? Should I take some of these winnings off the table? Well, it's hard for me to answer that question because I don't know anything about you. I don't know how old you are, how close to retirement you are, if you're in the accumulation stage, or maybe if you're in the distribution stage, and now you need to start making that transition to greater principal safety and more of an output of income from your portfolio. But we're coming up to our break, and it's going to be very important because in the second half of today's program, we're going to be discussing the broadening of the market and what this means to you, and maybe where you have an opportunity to continue to keep some momentum going. And we'll be discussing, no doubt, these momentum stocks and kind of the positive, but then also the negative, what we need to be so very careful of, especially in today's world and today's political environment where things are starting to shift. And we all know that every single day seems to be a new day for President Trump. Every single day seems to create a new surprise for us as Americans. Some of these things are extremely encouraging to us as Americans, but yet at the same time, they're surprising to the market. And here's the one thing we all know about the market doesn't like surprises. So sit tight. We'll be right back where we're going to discuss this horse race that's taking place in Wall Street and which horse you really need to be betting on.
This is the Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson.
Important financial questions. Are you feeling confident that you have enough money saved to enjoy a stress-free retirement?
Honestly, I'm not sure.
That's where Retirement Income Sources Investment Advisory Arm comes in. We exist to help you invest your money smartly.
I'm struggling to accept my retirement without a steady paycheck. So can you help me invest into a profitable revenue plan?
Absolutely. We have a fiduciary obligation to you, helping you generate retirement income.
A properly managed, income-oriented portfolio can successfully seek to deliver both short-term and long-term return outperformance to help solve most challenges investors face when investing for a more successful, sustainable retirement. Call Johnson Wealth and Income Management at 866-290-3837. That's 866-290-3837. And for more information, visit us online at johnsonwim.com. The Retirement Income Source. Assets make things possible.
Income makes things happen.
If you're preparing to retire in the next 10 years, this message is for you. You know, one of the biggest sources of income may be how you claim your Social Security. That's right, how you claim your benefits. Do you know your full retirement age? Do you know how much of your benefits may be taxed? Do you understand how to claim on an ex-spouse, or that you even could? For your free, no-obligation Social Security information kit, call 866-290-3837. You could spend hours and hours searching around online only to find some generic calculators that may not factor in inflation, tax implications, your marital status, and hundreds of other variables. And if you call or stop into the Social Security office, they, by law, cannot advise you on which claiming strategy is best for you. For your free, no-obligation Social Security information kit, call 866-290-3837 or visit johnsonwim.com. That's johnsonwim.com.
Have you missed any of today's program? No problem. You can hear all of our shows online anytime, 24/7, at johnsonwim.com. That's johnsonwim.com. Welcome back to the Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson.
And welcome back to the second half of the Capitalized Life and Retirement Show. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson, president and owner of Johnson Wealth and Income Management, a retirement income source located in Clear Lake and Humboldt, Iowa, serving clients in northern Iowa and southern Minnesota. If you're just joining us, welcome to today's program. Today, we've been discussing kind of some interesting stats. We know that the S&P 500 did extremely well in 2024. We know that it ended the year almost 25% in the green. That's very encouraging to us. But now we've transitioned into 2025. We obviously have a new administration, and we're starting to see maybe a little bit of a pullback within the stock market. And when we kind of looked at what would the real returns be of the S&P if you just took and you equally weighted all 500 of the companies, and you realize, my goodness, the real return of the S&P would be about 12%. And if you eliminated the tech stock companies, well, then the real return of the S&P would be only 7%. This starts to kind of leave us asking this question, is it time for me to take some winnings off the table? Now, again, if you're extremely bullish about tech, if you're extremely bullish about the momentum stocks, and oftentimes momentum stocks really do make up the majority of tech stock companies, well, you know, if you're young enough and you can stomach the volatility that may be to come within that sector, well, that's something that you have to decide if you want. But I've never really known any investor that's been regretful for taking and pocketing a double-digit rate of return. Now, granted, we've all heard the stories. Maybe you've even experienced it where you got a little bit nervous and you ended up selling things only to, yeah, watch them go even further up, right? It's happened to every single one of us. But here's the interesting thing that we're seeing within the S&P 500. We know really ever since the DeepSeek and all of the talk of the tariffs coming out, that the market has started to cool just a bit. We know that the S&P 500 hasn't really been taking off the way that it did in 2024. And of course, a lot of it is the nervousness of the tariffs. But here's the thing. If we start to see the other areas of the market, we're starting to see a broadening take place. And what that means is that many of the other companies within the S&P 500, those corporations, are starting to come into their own. Now, here's the thing. If we've been doing our due diligence to stay diversified, we haven't taken our portfolios and put too much of our money into any one particular company. We've done a diligent job of making certain that, yes, we may have some growth, but we're also focusing on dividend-paying common stocks. The reason we do that, the reason that I try to encourage investors to be focused on what's called the prudent man rule, where we're diversifying and not having too much of your money in one particular name, is because of the dynamics just like this. we're starting to see where momentum is starting to slow down in those tech companies. You know, Secretariat began to get winded in that Woodward steak race in 1973. And coming from behind was Onion, little old Onion. And Onion wins the race. Now, was he highly favored? Not at all. Was he in a position where people said, this is the guy, he's going to come from behind and he's going to win? Probably not. And yet he won. And you see, the reality is that the reason that we want to occasionally take winnings off the table is so that we can rotate our money into other areas of the market that can help us have potentially more growth. You know, when we think about many of the blue chips, even the value stocks, quite honestly, have been kind of left to themselves. They're pretty boring. They're paying, you know, 3.5-4% in dividends. Nobody's really paying attention to them because of all the hype. But let me ask you, if you were able to average, say, a 5% dividend in your portfolio, and you were able to make, say, an average of 5 or 6% in real appreciation, and you got a 10% or 11 or 12% return, would that be acceptable to you, especially if you were in retirement, you were needing income? And the answer is absolutely. For most retirees are not looking to take on the risk to get a double-digit rate of return because they understand either A, that they're close enough to retirement if they're pre-retiree, that if they lose big, they can't recover in time for retirement, and now they may end up having to live on less, or they're going to have to reduce their lifestyle. Or maybe they're in a position where they are in retirement and they realize that it's not always going to be this good. They're not always going to have the capability of being able to sell shares at a high in order to be able to get the income they need. And quite honestly, this is one of the most detrimental mistakes that a pre-retiree or a retiree can make. Now, again, I love to be able to create dialogue. I love to be able to learn from all of you. I'd like to hear what's on your mind. I'd like to be able to hear the questions that you have. And so I encourage you, go to my website, johnsonwim.com, where there is the ability of being able to leave a comment, a question, as well as listening to all the previous podcasts. You know, I hate to even say it, but it's true. The old idiom that pigs get fed, but hogs get slaughtered. You've got to know when enough is enough. And again, I'm not here to say that technology has lost all of its momentum. It certainly hasn't. This isn't, you know, something like you heard older people in the mid-1990s saying that the internet was just a fad. It was going to go away. Well, obviously the internet is not a fad. Obviously the internet has changed the fabric of society. But we also know that right after literally 5 years of just tremendous growth within the technology sector from 1995, 1996 to 2000, all of a sudden, things just absolutely fell on their ear. The S&P 500, 3 years later, was down 50%. And here's the bad thing about losing in the stock market. When you lose in the stock market, now you have to wait for recovery. And so if you've never thought of it this way, it's always important to remember that you're never investing just money. When you invest in your 401k, you're never just investing money. When you invest in that IRA brokerage account or that Roth brokerage account, what you're really investing is money and time. And time is your most valuable asset, right? When we retire, we don't want to have to put our retirement dreams and aspirations on hold. We want to be able to fulfill all of those goals, all of those dreams that we spent 40 years aspiring to fulfill when we got to retirement. And though I know that we're really good attorneys and we can talk ourselves into this belief system that this time it's going to be different, that tech stocks are going to go to the moon and they're never going to come down, I want to be that voice of reason. I want to be that caution to get you to maybe think about the fact that right now the market is broadening out. Investors are beginning to diversify away from technology. There's not as much hype. There's not as much excitement. There's not as much enthusiasm taking place within those tech companies. And I want you to maybe consider this. In the same way that if we eliminated the tech stocks from the S&P and we saw that the real return of the S&P for 2024 would have only been about 7%, what does that tell you if the tech stock companies, which make up the majority of the S&P 500 in their capitalized state, in other words, how big they are, the percentage of the S&P that they make up, what does that mean to the S&P if all of a sudden these tech companies start to decline? Things start to cool off more rapidly. Maybe there's a surprise from, say, a political standpoint. What happens to the S&P? Well, if your thinking is the same as mine, that means that in the same way that they drag the S&P 500 up, they have the capability of dragging the S&P 500 back down. Now, is that going to happen? Are we going to go into a recession? I don't think so. I don't see much of a chance of a recession on the near horizon, although there are many concerns that we have when we look at lagging economic data in this country. And I know that President Trump is going in a million different directions right now. He's trying to cut down on fraud, waste, and abuse. He has many very, I would say, admirable agendas that he wants to try to be able to get past. But the reality is that for most of us, we have zero control on what he does or does not do. In fact, we have zero control on what the stock market does from day to day. And so maybe this is the horse race where not betting too heavily on Secretariat would be a good thing. Knowing that you've made money on Secretariat in past races, but now it's time to maybe diversify, get into things that are maybe a little bit more income-oriented, that provide you a little safe harbor, but knowing that as things cool within one sector, this is where the broadening of the market actually takes place. And so if you consider taking some of those winnings off the table, do you want to sit in cash? No. You know, I had a gentleman tell me that he is going to sit out of the market over the next 4 years because he is so scared. I don't think that that's a very realistic thing to do, because guess what? We know that the cost of living is going to continue to go up, and we need our money to be, at the very least, producing 5-6% in interest and dividends. We may not be getting that from the bank right now in CDs. We may not be getting that from government bonds, but we certainly can do that within the world of fixed income. We can do that, or at least get closer to that number, if we focus on more of the value stocks, the dividend paying companies that are out there that I think are starting to grow into themselves now. People are starting to realize that where, you know, one sector was really, really good, it can't continue on forever. So ask yourself, is it time to maybe diversify? Is it time for you to maybe take some winnings off the table and begin more focus on what your true objective is, why you're saving this money, so that when you get to retirement, or even if you're in retirement, you can take this pot of money and you can turn it into an income-producing machine. Here's the irony. If you want more income, you naturally have to reduce your risk. And for most retirees, that sounds like a dream made in heaven. Being able to have less risk, being able to sleep at night, and knowing that you've got all the income you need to be able to do all the things that you want in retirement. I'm Matthew Johnson. Thank you so much for joining me today, and we hope to see you down the road. Remember, it's up to you to make today a great day.
That's all the time we have for today. To schedule 15 minutes with Matthew off the air, call 866-290-3837. That's 866-290-3837. And for more information, visit us online at JohnsonWIM.com. That's JohnsonWIM.com. We will be back again next week at this same time for another Capitalized Life and Retirement Program with Matthew Johnson.